Raiom sota ne amtimaranti.
Your mercies are new.
Ari ni famdrampuno de omnao.
Your grace is available to us.
Ari ni fasoavanao ianko de afaka noanay.
Won't you come and strengthen us?
Metezanao ho tonga de ampaherenay.
Encourage us.
Ampaherezay.
And motivate us, lead us.
Tena hoe etsio mintsay tario lalana izay.
Through your word
and
by your spirit
in
Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
I've been talking about various spiritual disciplines that you exercise in your life. Speaking about things we need to do that would grow us and mature us. We understand our salvation is all by the grace of God.
You're
not saved by your own effort, you're saved by the blood of Jesus. But the Bible also says we should work out our salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, take seriously the outworking of your faith. We shouldn't arrive in heaven as little spiritual babies. No, we should have grown in the grace of God. Grown in our knowledge of God. And lived for His glory. Stored up treasure in heaven. Expected some heavenly rewards. And not been lazy as Christians. And so there are certain things that we do that requires our effort. And we must learn to do these things diligently. We take a lot of time in the day to prepare food for our bodies. Some people get up early to make a fire to cook rice. But did you get up early and cultivate a spiritual fire for your time with God? To pray, to read the Bible. These are things that have to become part of our daily lifestyle. The one thing I want to look at today, it might not automatically fit in a list of disciplines. But I personally believe it belongs in the list of things we must do. And this is the sharing of our faith or witnessing. Not many of us think of it every day that we should be testifying of our faith. But there's a lovely dynamic that starts to happen in a believer's life. When you start to testify of your faith, where you tell people about Jesus, or maybe share the gospel with someone, it does something in you. You actually grow from that. And so I believe that people who hide the light and never share it with others.
De sam minwe le ulla manafna le faza fana de tsim saran le izmintia.
They don't grow very strong in their personal convictions or their own faith. So there's often bad cycles. But occasionally there are virtuous or good cycles. So instead of something bad happening, something good can happen from this. You timidly share your faith with someone, and your faith grows stronger, which enables you to share your faith less timidly. And then your faith grows stronger. And that's a good cycle. And through how God leads you on that path, you become more and more mature. And because God puts you through certain tests along the way. Maybe the first person you share your faith with, they're friendly. And they receive what you say without argument. That was my experience. I got up my courage one day and I shared my faith with another young guy when I was a teenager. And in God's mercy, that guy responded and got saved. My faith grew a bit. Then when I was a student at university, I shared my faith again. And this time the guy mocked me. Basically said I was a fool. You see, God was kind because he just like made the harder exercise the second one. And I was not discouraged. Because I had seen what happened the first time I shared my faith and the person responded. I don't know how it's going to go with you. Maybe it will be more like Stephen in the book of Acts. You share your faith and they kill you. I hope not. But we should be prepared to share our faith. The first text I want to look at is Matthew 28. These three verses you should know off by heart. It's called the Great Commission. Let's read verse 18-20.
Ar Jesus nanantona ten tamin'ny kanana hoe efa nomenany fahefana rehetra any an-danitra sy ety an-tany koa mandeha any ianareo dia ataovy mpianatra amin'ny firenena rehetra manao batisa azy ho amin'ny anaran'ny Ray sy ny Zanaka ary ny fanahy masina sady mampianatra azy hitandrina izay rehetra nandidiko anareo ary indro izao momba anareo mandrakariva ambara-pahatonga amin'ny fahataperan'izao tontolo izao.
Churches don't make disciples.
Ny fiangonana dia tsy manao mpianatra.
Disciples make disciples.
Fa ny mpianatra no manao mpianatra.
Jesus spoke to his disciples.
Ny resaka tamin'ny mpianany Jesus.
And he said, "Go and teach people."
Dia ny teny izy hoe mandeha na dia mampianara olona.
That's your job and my job.
Izay no asanao sy asako.
As Christians, we're commissioned to spread the gospel.
Amma Christiana te foira ktsika ampiel en filazantsar.
If you've received this good news, you need to share it with someone else.
Refa nandray an'io vovo mahafaly io enao de tokony izarana azy amin'ny olon-kafa koa.
As you've learned to follow Jesus, you teach others to follow Jesus.
Tahaka an'izay nianaranao hoe ohatr'izao nifanarahana an'i Jesosy dia ianao koa mandeha mampianatra ny hafa anaraka an'i Jesosy.
So God's plan was not for you just to come and sit in a church on a Sunday.
Ka ny planin'Andriamanitra ho anao izany dia tsy hoe ho tonga ty am-piangonana fotsiny a dia hipetraka rehefa lahady.
But for you to become an empowered missionary of the gospel.
Fa ianao a ho lasa misionera mana nahazoery ho an'ny filazantsara.
If you are a Christian,
raha ohatra ka kristianina ianao,
you're actually called to share.
Dia nantsoina izany ianao a izara.
Let's look at Acts 1 verse 8.
Andao jerevatsika ny asan'ny apostoly toko voalohany dia ny andininy fahavalo.
This one you should also memorize.
Ti anakiray ty ihany koa dia tokony ho ataonao tsenjery. Fa azo hery ianareo amin'ny latsahan'ny fanahy masina aminareo ary ho vavolombeloko any Jerosalema sy eran'ny Jodia sy Samaria ary hatranin'ny faran'ny tany.
You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you.
Azo hery ianareo a rehefa ilatsahan'ny fanahy masina.
And you will be Jesus' witnesses.
De ho lasa vavolombelon'i Jesosy ianao.
Where they were in Jerusalem.
De nisy an'zareo tamin'izany tany Jerusalem.
And Jesus described this message spreading outwards.
Then ny fariparitan'i Jesosy izany le afatra hoe manomboka miparitaka mivoaka.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria and to the ends of the earth.
Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, ary hatrany amin'ny faran'ny tany.
Well, just think about your circle of life with your sphere of influence.
De eritrereto ny mety hoe manodidina anao na hoe izay mety ho tratranao e.
Where you are.
Eo amin'izay misy anao.
Where God's placed you.
Eo izany nametrahan'Andriamanitra anao.
You start to look around you. Who could you share your faith with?
De manomboka mijery manodidina anao ianao dia mijery hoe iza re no azoko izarako ny finoako e.
Is there an aunt or an uncle?
Miss dada tu ve osa miss nentu?
Maybe a boyfriend or a girlfriend?
Metu si pale iz na lana vavi.
Maybe a boss or a colleague at work?
Metu e papiasa ne pesan.
Those are the people that are your Jerusalem. They live around you, you cross paths every day. Should look and see who is it that God could lead me to share with. But you shouldn't stop there. You should be thinking, when can I get, you know, to another town and talk to a kind of another person out of my context.
De meritreritra anao ireo vinary any mety hoe mivoaka tsy eto amin'ity toerana ity a dia afaka mizara amin'ny olona izay tsy dia tena hoe manodidina anahy eo fotsiny izany.
Go find somebody who's a little bit less familiar.
De mijereva indray olona tsy dia mahazatra anao loatra.
And share the gospel with them.
Temsaran filazantsara amitrareo.
The nature of the gospel is that it's apostolic. It goes, it gets sent.
Ni natura filazantsara dia apostolika izany hoe mandeha le izy a voiraka le izy.
And the early church saw itself as an apostolic prophetic people.
Ary ny fiangonana voalohany dia nahita ny tenany hoe apostolika ara-paminaniana ry zareo.
We could phrase it like this: we are sent with a message. An apostle is a sent one, a prophet speaks for God. And we are to be an apostolic prophetic people, we're sent with a message. In Romans chapter 1,
we look at verse 14 to
17.
Right, zertika ni andin faivatra ambe folo ka hatramin'ny fahafito ambe folo.
From verse 14 to 17.
Ananan Greek is in Firenena Fareta, Niend, Sintiend, Trusa, Kuaraisa, De Mazutu, Iturun Filazantaram Nareu, Isayan Roma Kua, Fatsmenatam Filazantara, Fayernande Manta of Famzena Sereta, Minzan, Am Juselu, De Vam Tetlisaku, Fa Amzan no Aneuna Fa Marina, Fam Nandremant, Aviam Fnun. Siwam fnun arakan fo surata we marnam fnuna no vel.
Paul says that he's obligated.
I Paul den laza we is at tena fo terano le is.
He understood that there was a duty that God had put upon him.
Tena azun tsaramintsy no misy andrekta zay napetraka andriamanitra ho aminy.
He was obligated to take the gospel to others.
Tena we for 10 means is anfa aitondra ny filazantsara makany amin'ny hafa.
And he saw an opportunity to preach to those in Rome.
Tena hita ihany koa izy fahafahana mitory amin'ireo izay tany Rome.
And he said, I want to do it. I want to reach you with the gospel.
Dia hoy izy hoe tiako atao koa izany, te hanatratra anareo amin'ny filazantsara ihany koa.
He saw it as a calling, as something that God required of him. Now, sadly for many of us, we don't realize that all these words are true. Maybe you thought God called you to be a good person. Just go to church. Just go to work. Just live like that. Stay out of trouble. We hope that God does good to us. We thought we'll do all those simple things and then God must bless us. Give me provision, God. Give me health, God. Heal me when I'm sick. But that's so short, that falls so far short of what Jesus actually wants. Jesus wants us to be co-laborers with him. He wants us to actually work and build what he is building. That means we're supposed to enter into his work, which is spreading the good news of the kingdom. And so when we get to heaven one day, I'm nervous sometimes that God's going to say, well, you had 1,000 opportunities, but you took a hold of none of them. Paul saw it as an obligation. So, salvation is free, but it's also a costly message. You'll pay with your life. Jesus said we must take up our cross and follow him. So I'll give you a quote from a guy by the name of Mark Dever. He says it's costly. It's urgent. But it's worth it. It's worth it because when you get into partnership with Jesus, you enter into a whole nother realm of relationship with him. You're not just coming to get something. You're not just ticking off your religious church attendance. You're actually saying, I'm a soldier in the same fight as Jesus. And I'm
going
to engage my life for His glory. What I like about what we just read in Romans is that Paul recognized that the power comes from God. The cool thing about how salvation works is you can't save anyone. But God has planned to save people. And what you do is you share the gospel. And then God takes those words and he mixes faith in with them and brings a response out of the person's heart. And so he can save people. And all we have to do is share the gospel. And how difficult can that be? You're saying basically to people, you want to live? Then put your trust in God. How can we not tell them that truth? It's so simple. If they don't trust God, they won't live forever in heaven. If they trust God, they will be with Him in heaven. It's that simple. It's God's righteousness that clothes us. That's the gospel. The good news is God gives us righteousness. We just looked in verse 17. It says, in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. So I'm teaching you now how to become an evangelist. You tell people righteousness is available from God. You can be made right with God through Jesus. And through Jesus, you put your trust in Him, God gives you righteousness. If you're a Christian, you know this. The blood of Jesus washed away your sins. And the righteousness of Jesus was credited to you. A righteousness from God. Not works, not earned, just given. That's how simple the message is. It's God's righteousness that clothes us. How difficult is it to say that? We're obliged and we're under a debt. And the gospel is powerful. So we tell the people, you're powerless, but there is a power that has worked on your behalf. Jesus has done it. And the gospel is the power of salvation. When you start to tell people the gospel, it's not about arguments. It's not about your view versus my view. You're not debating philosophies. You can't argue anyone into becoming a Christian. As Mark Dever puts it, You can't force anyone to be a Christian any more than you can force a dead body into dancing. You can't force anyone into being a Christian. You can't force a corpse to dance.
They're
dead in their sins. But God is going to make them alive by His power. So God didn't call us to argue. He called us to tell people. It's a proclaiming of the gospel. You just declare it to them. And God's power will come. And this gospel is far more powerful than we realize. I'm going to read a little bit of a quote from Charles Spurgeon. And this might be a little difficult to translate. So I'm going to paraphrase him, and Vivian's going to translate me. Spurgeon said, "You must also believe in the power of that message to save people." A student came to me and he said, "I've been preaching for months and I don't think I've had a single conversion." I said to him, "Do you expect that the Lord is going to bless you and save souls every time you open your mouth?" "No, sir," he replied. "Well, then," I said, "that's why you don't get souls saved." "If you had believed, the Lord would have given the blessing." See, Spurgeon is saying something. You either live thinking it depends on you, how well you argue, how well you present the gospel, and then you think, "I'm not good enough," which is true. We aren't good enough. But we're still thinking, nothing's going to happen because I'm not a skillful person. But what you need to be thinking is, something is going to happen because the gospel is powerful. Every time you go out to testify of Jesus, something mighty can happen. Because the gospel is the power of God to salvation. So when you're going and you're getting up your courage to share with someone, don't be faithless, apply your faith. Say, "God is going to do something now. God is going to get involved and something's going to happen." We must apply faith. And Spurgeon says, "I had caught him out nicely. I realized where he was. Many others would have answered me in just the same way as he did. They believe it's possible That once in 100 sermons, God might win a quarter of a soul. In other words, they think it's so unlikely. I'll preach 100 times, and out of that 100 times I preach, maybe God will save a quarter of a person. I think that's been my problem sometimes. I don't mix in faith with what I'm doing. Spurgeon goes on and he says, they've hardly got enough faith to keep them standing upright in their boots.
There was a Spurgeon,
how can they expect God to bless them? Then he says, I like to go to the pulpit feeling this. So now Spurgeon describes how he enters the pulpit. And this is how you should feel when you approach your aunt or your uncle that you're going to testify to. This is God's word that I'm going to deliver in His name. Did you get that? You're called and commissioned to take a message in the name of the King. You're an ambassador. Commissioned by God Himself to do this. And you go with that message to that person. This is God's word that I am going to deliver in His name. It cannot return to Him void. I have asked His blessing upon it, and He is bound to give it. And His purposes will be answered. Do you get that? When you go and speak to someone, God has a purpose, and His purpose will be answered. If we share just a fragment of the gospel with just one person in much fear and trembling, we should expect it to be just as powerful. For it is the message and not the messenger that is important. It is the message and not the messenger that's important. You have been entrusted with an important message. You've been given the gospel, and now you take it and you present it in the name of God. Don't look at yourself. Look at God. It's Him who speaks. It's Him who saves. It's His power that comes. You know, how do we become this kind of a evangelist?
A witness.
Well, you are already witnessing. Your life is a testimony. It's a testimony about what you are most enthusiastic about. Meet a guy who's into computers. He loves PCs. He loves programming. What does he talk about?
He
doesn't talk about football. He talks about technology stuff. Meet a guy who's passionate about football. He starts talking about the... If it's the World Cup, he's talking about the World Cup. He talks about what team you support.
And then
he tells you why they're not going to win. And then he tells you why his team's
going to
win. People talk about what they're passionate about. So there's the answer. Get passionate about Jesus. Realize what he's done for you. Recognize that you've received this great gospel. In all of eternity, there is nothing I'm going to be more excited about than the fact that Jesus saved me. It changed everything for me. He secured my eternity and he blessed my present. Can you see that when you become enthusiastic about Jesus, then you're
going
to turn conversations towards him. You're
going
to talk about what God's been doing in your life. You're
going to
give an account for the hope that is in you. That's a Bible verse, by the way. Be ready to give an account for the hope that's in you. People talk about lifestyle evangelism and just being a nice person. That the example of your life will show people what Jesus is like.
When you
Yes, of course.
Yeah,
it should be like that. People should see that we're Christians. But I
want
to encourage you this morning. Don't stop there. Let them hear it coming out your mouth. God did amazing things. You should be testifying to people. To the point that they get annoyed with you. Like you get tired of someone who only ever talks about soccer. Be passionate. And then speak. And expect the power of God to change people's lives. Let's pray. Father, we may not be the best ambassadors. Maybe we haven't spoken enough. But Jesus, I pray for each one of us here. That our love for you would grow.
that our
passion about the gospel would grow.
And
that we would step up and start to declare our faith to others.
I don't want
to just be a Christian, I want to proclaim the message, Lord. Help us as a church to be a light on a hill. May the gospel ring out from us. Through every life. Through every saint here. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. You're welcome to